UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
We've really seen in recent years an increased interest in cannabis-derived products for the treatment of human illness, but most recently studies have been done for the treatment of epilepsy. And here to tell us about that is Dr. Jerzy Sawlarski. He's the director of the Epilepsy Center at UAB Medicine. Dr. Sawlarski, we're so glad to have you with us today. This is such an interesting topic. So before we get to your study, tell us a little bit about CBD oil and what's the amount of THC in it. Explain a little bit about how it's derived.
Thank you for having me. So this is a natural product. So it's derived from the cannabis plant. This is extracted and then purified. So the product that we have studied, the Epidiolex, has about 99%+ of CBD and less than 0.1% THC. So the amount of THC is minimal and it's considered to be at the level of impurity. So the majority of the product is CBD that is non-psychoactive, and that's why it's relatively easy to study because it doesn't have the undesired side effects of the THC that is psychoactive and can cause a lot of problems.
Well, then tell us about the laws surrounding the use of it and the utility of the cannabis-derived products. Are they FDA approved for the treatment specifically of epilepsy?
So, of course, as the audience knows, cannabis is a Schedule I substance, so it's not approved to be even studied in the U.S. However, the cannabidiol, the extract from the cannabis plant, has recently been approved for the treatment of epilepsy, and we started prescribing it in October and November of last year. We now have a fair number of patients, probably more than 100, taking this product. And in our studies over the last 5 years, we have seen fairly good responses in many patients, with some of them becoming seizure-free with the cannabidiol. So it's a very nice option for our patients. Many of them have tried a dozen or more anticonvulsants. Many had epilepsy surgery or devices inserted that have not provided the relief that they were hoping for, and have not resulted in seizure freedom. So having another option that is completely different than the other options and has a completely different mechanism of action and side effects profile is very important, as we can offer this to patients predominantly, as it is approved right now, for the treatment of seizures associated with Lennox-Gastaut syndrome and Dravet syndrome. But studies from our centers and other centers have documented potential efficacy for other seizure types and other epilepsy syndromes, prescribing it for LGS and Dravet, but also for other epilepsy syndromes as well.
Dr. Sawlarski, then tell us about your study and the patient selection criteria that you use. Tell us about your methods in this landmark study from UAB.
So let me start with a patient history. One of our patients who was in this study used to travel to Colorado, where he needed to establish residency to obtain cannabidiol from local dispensaries. And he was intermittently seizure-free and independent on where he got the cannabidiol. So obviously there was a lot of variability in the product that he was receiving. And of course, this was not pharmaceutical grade. He was one of the patients who we enrolled in our study, and he was among the 169 patients who received Epidiolex, which is the highly purified pharmaceutical grade version of cannabidiol that is also provided to patients in dispensaries in Colorado and other states. And he became seizure free. It's one of the reasons for that was because there was a good consistency from dose to dose, from vial to vial, from batch to batch. And that's very important for treating patients with epilepsy, because variability in a product that they receive may affect seizure frequency and seizure freedom. So in our study, we enrolled patients with all seizure types. They had to have at least 4 seizures per month, and they had to fail at least 4 different seizure treatments. And we enrolled them, and they were titrated on a cannabidiol up to the dose of maximum of 50 milligrams per kilogram per day, which is higher dose than currently approved by FDA. But we were titrating it to patient seizure response as well as to side effects. And we have noticed that despite the fact that we were adding cannabidiol to the list of medications that the patient was currently taking, the side effects profile of all the anticonvulsants has changed. And in fact, patients were reporting less side effects while taking the CBD in addition to the other medications. They also reported much lower seizure frequency, with, like, as I mentioned before, some patients having more than 50 or 60% up to 100% seizure reduction. And overall, we see about 60% seizure reduction across all patients. We also noted that there was a substantial reduction in seizure severity. So from somebody who was having multiple generalized tonic-clonic seizures per day or convulsions, they maybe did not have those anymore and had only complex partial or focal seizures, which is a huge difference in not only in quality of life, but also in the risks associated with epilepsy, including the risk of sudden unexplained death in epilepsy, which is related to having frequent generalized tonic-clonic seizures. So obviously we made a huge difference for many of the patients. However, it has not worked for all patients, but the consensus of all patients who participated was that they were very appreciative and very thankful for having the opportunity to try something new, something that they have not tried before, whether it worked for them or not. So in those 169 patients that were in the trial, we made huge difference, and we're translating that difference now into clinical practice in patients who were not in a clinical trial, but now have been approved by their insurance companies to receive cannabidiol for the treatment of their seizures, and who are now reporting similar improvements as in the clinical trial.
What a fascinating study, Dr. Savlarsky. And what about children? Are they some of your patient selection, or is this mostly something that's being done with adults just now?
So out of the 169 patients, actually 89 were pediatric patients.
Wow.
That were sent to us from the Children's Hospital across the street. Dr. Martina Babin and Dr. Leslie Perry were managing these patients predominantly. I participated in managing these patients, but not on an everyday basis. And the numbers of responders were similar between the pediatric and adult groups. The only difference between the two groups was that patients, the children, responded to lower doses. So on average, there was about 10 milligrams per kilogram per day difference in dose that the children were receiving. Children were receiving on average about 20 to 25 milligrams per kilogram per day, while adults were receiving more than 30 milligrams per kilogram per day. But that's not unexpected. The metabolism of the drug is different between children and adults, and responses may also be slightly different.
It's interesting that you brought up metabolism between the pediatric and adult populations. If they are using other treatments, doctor, like the ketogenic diet, does that affect their participation in this particular study?
No, we enrolled all patients independent of what treatments they were receiving. So there were also patients who were receiving ketogenic diet, also patients with tuberous sclerosis who were receiving non-standard anticonvulsants. And we managed them and we monitored them very carefully to make sure that we did not have any unexpected or unusual side effects or adverse events or drug-drug interactions. And yes, we have learned a great deal about drug-drug interactions from our study, and we have documented interactions with some of the anticonvulsants that are very important to be mindful of, as well as interactions with other drugs, like, for example, warfarin, where we had a patient who was treated with warfarin for heart valve replacement, and he also had seizures, and there was a clear interaction between those two, and we have reported that, as this is very important for clinicians to know, that there's interaction between those two medications.
That certainly is important. As we're beginning to wrap up, speak about some of the challenges that you have overcome with this study that you've done and where you see it going in the future.
So, of course, there is a public perception of cannabis or marijuana being this nefarious substance. Yes, there's potential of addiction, but also there is a potential for therapeutic effects. And we need to study those effects, whether those are effects of CBD or effects of THC or effects of one of the 100 other cannabinoids that are in the plants or the other flavonoids that are in the plant that may have therapeutic potentials. We need to study these effects. We need to look at these effects and see whether they are beneficial or not in aggregate as a plant or with each one of them separately. And I think this is very important that physicians are able to study this plant, are able to make decisions about potential applications of the cannabinoids that are in the plant, whether this is for epilepsy or other neurological conditions or neuropsychiatric conditions or conditions outside of neuroscience, like, for example, glaucoma or fibromyalgia. We need to study this. We need to answer the questions, how efficacious it is, whether it is efficacious, and how do we need to use this plant.
So please tell other providers any information that we have not covered that you would really like them to know, and how, if they have patients for referral, how they can become part of your program.
So what is important is that currently we have one cannabinoid, plant-derived cannabinoid that is approved. This is the cannabidiol. This is pharmaceutical grade. However, many patients will come to providers asking them about cannabidiol that they can purchase in local food stores or other dispensaries. And I think that providers need to be aware of patients taking these products, need to be aware of interactions with these products. They need to look at the label to see how much CBD, THC, and other cannabinoids is in the bottle. We also need the providers to know that we are here for our patients. So if they feel want us to prescribe the cannabidiol for these patients or manage their prescriptions, we'll be happy to do that. The patients can be referred to us and we'll see them very quickly just address their needs.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savlarsky. What an interesting study, and the outcomes are so positive and encouraging. Thank you again for joining us. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for tuning in.